Since last Friday, we've been getting Thanksgiving tips and recipe suggestions from experts like Matt and Renato, our pie guys from Baked. Now it's time to hear from you. We've asked you for your tips and favorite Thanksgiving recipes, and you've responded with a cornucopia of ideas. We've chosen a few people to share their recipes and their stories on Last Chance Foods. Liz Kubani of Maplewood, New Jersey, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you so much, Amy.
First, let's talk turkey. You are brining your turkey, but you're also keeping kosher. Aren't kosher meats already salted?
Yes, they are. In fact, that's one of the steps to making meat or turkey or chicken kosher is salting it. So when I make my brine, I'm adjusting for that extra salt that's already been added to the bird.
You're doing a wet brine. What else are you adding to your mix?
Well, I'm putting just a fraction of the salt that the recipe calls for to account for that extra salt that's already there. I'm adding brown sugar, coriander seed, star anise, white peppercorn, ginger, and garlic. And I'll leave that on for about 6 hours today.
Nice. And how are you brining it? Are you putting it, what, did you find a tub big enough to hold the turkey?
I'm borrowing something from my husband's tool room. I haven't told him yet, though.
Okay. How big is your turkey?
I have two. One I'm baking. I'm going to roast rather conventionally, and then the other one is this brined one that's actually butterflied, and they're each in the 13 to 16 pound range.
John Hessler is also joining us. He's from the Upper West Side. John, welcome to WNYC.
Happy Thanksgiving, Amy.
You tell me you brought your turkey all the way up from Maryland?
Yes, I did. I purchased it at a farm called Springfield Farms, which is a farm owned by a group of French imports who basically raise the birds in a wild sense. They're mostly heritage birds, and they're all pasture-fed, so they get to run around, and they're quite delicious.
And were you schlepping this on Amtrak today, or what?
No, I actually drove up, so I didn't have to cart my 17-pound bird on the Amtrak along with my suitcases. So,
Liz, since you're keeping kosher, how do you avoid the dairy and all those casseroles and desserts and sauces? I really loved your stuffing suggestion, which avoids those dried-out bread cubes sautéed in butter.
That's right. I think, that the hardest and most interesting part for me is just the menu planning and figuring out which recipes are going to taste just as good without butter. And my stuffing recipe, which is a wild mushroom and wild rice stuffing, actually does call for butter, but I've made it over the years and adapted it just slightly to taste wonderful with margarine and olive oil. I just find that the sort of standard bread stuffings do not taste as good without the butter.
And why margarine? I think a lot of Last Chance Foods listeners would blanch at that, the idea of trans fats.
I use it so infrequently that I feel like I can get away with it.
All right, there you go. John, you're doing an oyster stuffing. Tell us the family story behind oyster stuffing.
Well, the oyster stuffing comes really from my wife's family, and they're from France, and they're sort of bi-coastal. They're, part of the family is from Brittany, and part of them is from Nice. And I think an oyster stuffing is simply a way to import a little bit of the taste of Brittany into an American holiday.
Describe it briefly for me, how you assemble it.
Well, basically, it's fairly simple. You take a dozen oysters, and if you're going to get them freshly shucked, make sure you don't throw away the liquid. And if you get them in the sort of vacuum sealed tin or plastic container, definitely don't throw away the liquid because we're going to need that. And you basically take about a dozen oysters and about 6 cups of breadcrumbs or about a half a pound dry weight of bread cubes. And then a half a pint of cream, an egg, half a cup of vermouth, some thyme, the juice of half a lemon. And you just mix that all together, make sure it's very moist, and put it in a porcelain souffle container or bowl and put it in the oven for about 40 minutes until it gets a little bit dry on top. And it's quite a light thing, actually. It doesn't sound it, but I think it's sort of like A.J. Liebling used to say, that oysters don't take up any room, so it's a kind of a light alternative. But it doesn't go in the bird. It's definitely cooked outside the bird.
You told me no one in your family really loves this dish. There's a debate every year on whether to include it. Where do you stand, and are you the deciding vote?
Well, no, I'm definitely not the deciding vote. This is something that my wife definitely loves. She's the one who definitely pushes for it. But it's always a debate. Are we going to make oyster stuffing? It always seems to be, you know, as you're counting down the amount of dishes that you're actually including in your Thanksgiving menu, that there's always a question whether we're going to do it. But there hasn't been a year yet that we haven't. So, and we've been together for 20 years, so it's still something that we do every year.
Michelle Lachone of Brooklyn intrigued us with her vegetarian main course recommendation, a puff pastry pie that is filled with a mixture that begins with chopped onion and celery.
It starts with a sauté that can be almost anything, but my family, my children eat mushrooms, so we sauté a large quantity of portobello mushrooms with onions and a little oil with flavorings. And we add this meat substitute. I buy what they call naked cutlets, and I slice them up and add them to the sauté. And it becomes a part of a puff pastry pie. So my son, who's 11, refers to this as a vegetarian turkey pie.
Michelle builds the pie by lining a casserole pan with one sheet of puff pastry, topping it with the mushroom and meat substitute filling, adding a layer of chopped pecans and apples, drizzling it all with vegetable stock, and sandwiching all this goodness in with another layer of puff pastry. Bake at 375 until the crust is brown.
Everybody's impressed. Puff pastry comes out of the oven looking beautiful, and everybody wants to try it. And then they're always surprised. I don't know what the surprise is. Wow, this tastes good, they say.
That's Michelle Lachone from Brooklyn. John Hessler and Liz Kubani, do you find yourself thinking more about vegetarian options? John, I'll start with you.
Not so much. I mean, we certainly, in our family, we definitely eat organic. We really do try and be as local as we possibly can. So not so much in the vegetarian sense, but definitely trying to give our business to the local farms and people who are either organic or attempting to go organic.
Liz, any vegetarians in your family that you have to accommodate?
Yes, my cousin is a vegetarian in his family, and basically everything besides the turkeys are vegetarian. My stuffing, I'm making a farro and butternut squash salad, and then numerous roasted vegetable dishes to be served on the side, and all of that is vegetarian.
And Liz, your grand finale, what are you doing for dessert?
A coconut chocolate mousse. It's made with coconut cream, and you actually make a whipped cream from the coconut cream so it doesn't have any actual dairy in it.
Oh, that sounds great. And John, what about you?
It's going to be a tiramisu.
Oh, nice. John Hessler from the Upper West Side, Liz Kubani of Maplewood, New Jersey. Thank you so much for submitting your recipes and for joining us here on the day before Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to both of you.
Thank you, Amy. You
too. Happy Thanksgiving to you.